Well, praise God. Get your Bibles out this morning. Yeah. And if you would, turn to the gospel, or not the gospel, turn to the book of 1 John, chapter 5. Now, a couple of things. Oh, yeah, if there's any children left in here that you want to be in kids' churches going on over across in the other hall, so if you guys want to go over, take just, they're rolling. That's not any of you adults. I saw some of y'all move. No, you're too old. Too old. Couple of things I need to make an announcement on before we get going into this scripture. I mean, first is don't forget about the candidate forum tomorrow night, 6:30 over here at the Fellowship Hall. Now, ladies, if I could have, or guys, if y'all can make a cookie, I'd like to have some little bit of refreshments there, just some cookies and water and tea and some coffee for everybody that comes. And I need y'all to support this. I need y'all. I don't ask for much in life, but I need y'all to be there. I need faces. I don't even care if you're not even from anywhere around here. Just show up. Nobody's going to see where you're from. We need faces. We need people. We need warm bodies in there because the candidates are coming all the way from Congress, the legislators, the governors, the different, all everybody's coming. Now, Governor Perry is not going to be here. I was really hoping he would, but he wouldn't be here. But they're all sending representatives, and they need to go home and they need to tell the candidates what they saw in Utopia, Texas. I think that it's time, you know, and I'll be honest with you, some people have pastors mostly have questioned me, said, Robert, what are you doing? What are you doing? I said, man, that's why we're in the state that we're in, is because Christians have not done anything. We sat silent and prayed. Now, prayer works, but prayer without action, James tells us, man, faith without any action doesn't get anything done. And so we've done a lot of praying, but we've had very little action. And it's time for people to rise up and say, excuse me, we're not going down that road. Y'all with me? And so the only way we have to do that, besides anarchy, is to do what is set up by our Constitution, what our forefathers have put before us as a way that we can elect officials and put officials in there. And they need to know that we're not going to stand for a lot of the bull that's going on. And we're standing up and saying, no, you're not going down that road. We're not going to put up with it anymore. We, the people, are sick and tired. You're our elected officials. You're going to do what the constituents of this our state want, not what politics wants. Amen? And so the only way to do that is force. A show of force. We got to say, we're here. Here we are. We're not putting up with it. As long as they can come and nobody shows up, then they'll do whatever they want to do. Amen? And so I need people there. I need y'all to be there. I need y'all just to show up. We don't have to be violent. We don't have to be ugly. Don't bring a gun. All right? Yeah, leave your gun at home. Son, leave your gun at home. Okay. 6:30 in the Fellowship Hall. So don't forget about that. Amen? Okay, 1 John chapter 5. I want to continue on. I have a third part to this message about never seeing your father's face. And because I see a few new faces in here, I'll just do a little bit of a refresher. I started this message because I was visiting with a person, and we were just talking about random stuff, and the person began to tell me that they saw a show on Oprah. Actually, we got into it because they'd asked me how long I'd had a goatee. And I said, well, I've had some kind of hair on my face all my life. And then that brought in this story about that they'd seen like a makeover show where this guy had a really long beard down to, you know, the middle of his waist, and he had never shaven. And he was just really, you know, like mountain man looking guy. And they brought him in there and they shaved him, clean shaved him, and dyed his hair and fixed him all up. And then he went back out to meet his family. And of course, the kids and everybody was all just crazy, and they were crying and all, and they kept saying we've never seen our Father's face. And when he said those words to me, it just hit me like a shot in my chest that I said, wait a minute. I wonder how many Christians have lived their life as Christians. You know, they go to church, read their Bible, but they've never really, they don't know who their heavenly Father is. They don't know their own heavenly Father's face. If God walked into the room with a red hat on, they wouldn't know who he was. And so that's why I started preaching this message. And the first thing I preached about was a God of love and knowing the face of love of your Heavenly Father and what that means. And then last week I talked about the face of judgment. I took the opposite. But you know, I explained that there is no face of judgment that you'll face as a Christian. If you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, you're not going to face the judgment, the wrath of God. The Bible is plain about that, that you're delivered from that. Amen? But the Bible talks about, and see, I love this kind of stuff. I'm a big dreamer, I'm a big visionary, and I'm kind of dramatic, you know. I was born that way. And I like things big. And I just think it's going to be the coolest thing in the world when the Bible says that the heavens roll back like a scroll. And God sticks his face down, and I said it this way, I'm paraphrasing the Bible. And he looks down and says, boo! And everybody that's been around saying God's not real and God's not doing anything. And the Bible actually says that all the dignitaries, the rulers, the mighty men and women run into the mountains and say, let the rocks fall on us, hide us from the face of God. And I like to win. And I like to win in a big way. Anybody with me? I like it to where everybody that's been saying, oh, Robert, you're crazy. Oh, God's not real. He's not going to do anything. All of a sudden, he just rolls back the heavens like opening up a can of sardines and just peels it back. Y'all with me? And sticks his face down off the throne and says, boo. And everybody runs and says, let the rocks fall on us. That's my God. That's my daddy. I want to be standing there and say, yeah, that's my dad. That's him. Woo! Come on now. Right? So I want to take you today to a different thought. And it's kind of along those lines. But 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 is one of my favorite scriptures. It says, for whatever. Everybody say whatever. It's interesting that the translators translate that word whatever, because when you go and you look it up, it really means whatever. It's not whosoever, it's whatever. So whatever, it says, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. So whatever, I put it this way, whether you be a cowboy, or you be a suit, or you be whatever you be, whatever your color is, whatever your kind is, whatever your tribe is, wherever you've come from, whatever you've done, if you were a bad boy or a good boy, a bad girl or a good girl, don't make any difference. Whatever you were, if you're born again, or you're born of God, or God's in you, or God's touched you, or you've seen your Father's face and had a revelation, then you have the potential to overcome everything on the face of this earth. I don't care what it is. I don't care how big it is. I don't care how ugly it is. I don't care how scary it is. You know, I'm not a scary movie guy. I never was. I didn't like it. I guess you could say I'm a chicken. But you take somebody like myself that's lived all my life out in the country. You don't watch scary movies. I don't want to know what could be possibly out there and get in my mind when I'm always out there in the dark. When I'm out of, you know, checking the cows late at night or having to do something this or that or working late, I don't want to think that there's some rabid beast out there. I don't like Cujo, man. I ain't watching Cujo. I watched just enough of the commercial years ago, man. I don't do Cujo. And so the other night I'm walking through the house and we're just getting ready to go to bed and, you know, and the TV was on and I walked in there with some, man, crazy commercial on. And I just caught a glimpse, and I mean from the tip of my big toe, goosebumps come up all over my whole body. Man, I run over there and shut that thing off. I had to pray and rebuke the devil in the name of Jesus. I mean, I got scared of it, then went and loaded my gun, put it on me, you know. Crawled in bed with it. I said, dear God, I don't know what that was, but I don't want to see that thing, you know. I don't care how big and ugly it is. I don't care how hairy, how snarly, how whatever that comes in your life. Whatever that fear is, the Bible says if you're born again, if you just know that you're saved and you're going to go to heaven. That's all you got to know. You don't have to know every word of the Bible. You don't have to know every translation and all the theology of this and that and the other. You just got to know that you're in the kingdom of God. Y'all with me? Just because you're in there, you may be the worst stumbling, backsliding Christian in the world, and you still have the power to overcome on the inside of you. Pooh, I love that. Come on. You may not have even got it all figured out right now. You may have messed up so much that you have a string of mess ups that haunts you, but that's okay. If you're in the kingdom, the Bible says you're geared, powered, wired to overcome. You are an overcomer. Look at the person beside you and say, you're an overcomer. Now, let me read what it says. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Now, let me put this in some simple terms. The victory that overcomes the world is being able to look at your Heavenly Father's face and see the face of confidence on Him that He can handle it. Faith in its simplicity means that you're believing God that He can do it, not believing you that you can do it. You hear me? You got to be able to look at your daddy's face and say, oh, he can do it. Years ago, when I was in high school playing football, and it was my senior year, and we'd had some coach changes, and we were pretty bad. And there wasn't a lot of us, and so anyway, long story short, the coach that had come in, we didn't like him, and needless to say, you can kind of know from me right now that I don't take orders too well, and so anyway, it just wasn't a good mix, and so we had a young quarterback. I think he was a freshman, and he was pretty talented and all. And I was the captain of the football team, and I was a senior. And this coach told us, he said, "Look, y'all are so terrible, y'all are so bad." He just really degraded us all the time. And he says, "You know, I'm gonna tell you what. If y'all don't make a first down on the first when y'all have the ball, the first time y'all receive, if you don't make a first down, I'm gonna pull the whole team over here right in front of the grandstands, right in front of everybody. I'm gonna kick every one of y'all in the rump." I said, "Really? Okay. Interesting scenario here." So I told my father, I said, "Look, there's probably going to be a disturbance the first of the game." He said, "Oh?" He said, "You want to tell me about it?" I said, "No, I just want you to know that there's going to be a disturbance on our first, when we get the ball, on our first receiving of the ball." He said, "Really?" I said, "Yeah." And my dad said to me, you know, my dad was one of these hard ranchers, tough guy. I don't ever know that he ever looked at me in the eyes and said, "I love you." He wasn't that kind of a person. But he said to me, he said, "Well, I'll be standing right down over there by the fence, by the gate. And if you need me, I'm there." It's all I needed to hear. It meant the world to me. So I told the freshman quarterback, I said, We won the toss, and so we were getting the ball right off the bat. And I said, "I just want you to know, we're not making first down." I said, "Wherever you get the ball, we're punting from there." And he said, "Well, I'm not going to do it." And I said, "Well, I'm not blocking. I was a guard." I said, "I won't block." And I looked at the other lineman. I said, "You guys aren't going to block, and they're going to kill you. As soon as you take the snap, they're going to take your head off because we're not blocking." And he said, "Well, you can't leave me like that." I said, "Well, then do something." I said, "Don't fumble the ball, but we're not making a first down." So first, we tried a little play. The guys just basically fell on the ground, you know. And second down, third down. And so I looked over at the coach, you know, and he just had his head down. You know, and I said, "All right, guys, here we go. Fourth down, you know, punt it." So we punted it off, and we all stopped and looked at the coach and threw his hat down on the ground, stomped it, and he didn't like it too much, and we went on playing football. It didn't happen. And I'm just going to tell you something in life. I learned a secret there. that there's times in life that you have to call the devil's bluff. Jesus said in John chapter 10 that he is a liar and that he is a liar from the beginning. That there's no truth in him and that it's impossible for him to tell me the truth. So if he comes to me and says, you're not going to make it, that means I can win. If he comes to me and tells me I'm going to die, I can say, bless God, thank you for the confidence, I can live. Because whatever you tell me cannot be the truth. You see, we let fear dominate us. Right now, the United States is held in a bondage of fear to the Muslim religion. Now listen to me. I'm not against Muslims, but I want you to hear this. We're in fear because nobody wants to do anything to irritate the Muslims because they're scared because of the repercussions. They're going to do another bombing. They're going to do something else. Now, is there anything? Listen. Just get some wisdom here. Is there anything that might come up in your heart that would tell you that something's not wrong if the religion is going to kill somebody else because you did them wrong? Something's wrong. They've missed this God of love. They've missed a God who cares about humanity. Y'all with me? It don't line up. It doesn't fit. I heard the other day that some news media was trying to put the pressure on the president to tell the pastor down in Florida that he was going to step in and stop if they burnt the Quran. And I kind of thought to myself, isn't that interesting? That reminds me of a football game. I'm talking about a God of confidence. That when the devil comes into your life and begins to lie to you and begins trying to put fear on you, there's sometimes in life you have to call his bluff. You cannot live in fear and intimidation by the devil and what this world wants to throw at you. You cannot live in the fear and say, you're just a poor little girl. You came from a bad background. You know, you're not going to make it in life. You don't have any chance. The best you could ever be was maybe a low-paying job somewhere doing something. What are you talking about? That's not what my Bible says. My Bible says because I'm a believer in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, that because I'm born in him and his spirit lives on the inside of me, that life is on the inside of me, and that whatever I touch is going to prosper and I'm going to overcome it. The only reason why people live in poverty is because poverty is in their mind and they don't know the God that can overcome. We all go through hard times. We all go through circumstances. Man, I came from broke. There ain't nobody in here that knows more about what broke is than I was. I came from broke. I came from hanging on to $7, wondering how I was going to get through the week on that. I learned what it was like to eat hamburger helper, 6 days a week. The seventh day of the bologna. I know what it's like to raise your kids and not have enough money to put clothes on them and send them to school. I know what it's like. I know the hardships. Folks, listen to me. I'm not standing up here on my high horse or anything like that trying to tell you anything. I'm telling you, I came from broke. I fought it all the way up with my family, standing by my side, coming up from nothing but believing God that he was going to make a way where there seemed to be no way. And I can tell you with all confidence that because I believe in him, because I trust in him, because I've prayed, because I've learned the face of my Father and the confidence, looking at the confidence of my Father's face, that I can tell you that he has never let me down. He's never sold me short, and I've never come up on the low end. That every time I've been in a bind, every time I've been in trouble, God was there to deliver us. Did things always go the way I wanted to? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. But every obstacle, ever snarly, nasty, dirty, hairy devil that came at me to stop and discourage me in life, when I turned and addressed it and said, listen to me. Let me tell you who I am. Do you know who you're messing with? Now, y'all can say about talking to nobody that's psychotic or whatever. But I want to tell you something. I have walked many a mile talking to the devil to this world, to every circumstance, to every situation, I stand up there and walk back and forth and say, listen to me, this ain't going down this way. I know what you're telling me. I know what's going in my mind. I know the thought that's going on. Let me tell you how it's going to go down. I am a child of God. I am born again. I am washed in the blood of Jesus. I am righteous. I am holy. I am made right because of what I believe, not because of what I do. And I want to tell you something. This is the way it's going down. It's going to go down this way. You may have caused me a problem. You may have made a stumbling block. You may have made an obstacle. You may have hurt my feelings. You may have caused people to be angry with me. You may have done something else. But let me tell you something, devil. I want to tell you, I win in the end, and the heavens are going to be rolled back, and my God is coming down, and he's going to, and you're out, and I'm going to look at you from heaven and say, that right there was what's got the whole world messed up. That's what the Bible says, church. Come on. But you got to believe it, because what activates that power on the inside of you is called your faith, your belief system. You can't be neutral. There's no neutrality in serving Jesus. You either have to be a believer or a non-believer. There's no neutral. There's no place to stand in the middle and just let whatever happens comes your way. You're not out on a boat. Listen to me. Listen to me. If you are feeling today that you're out on the middle of a boat in the middle of the ocean and the wind is just taking you wherever it goes, well, then take your shirt off, put it up, and make a sail. Try to get some direction on where you're going. You say, well, I don't know where to go. Go somewhere. Make a stand and say, bless God, we're going in that direction. What do you think's over there? I don't know, but we're going that way. Why? Because it's just as good to go that way as it is to go that way. To stand. It's like in battle, you know? And you don't want to stand still in the middle of a firefight. You don't want to just stand up and say, I don't know what to do. I'm just going to stand here and hope everything goes okay. No. You better be moving. You better get some zinging and some zanging going. You better get some rolling and some moving. Yeah, you better. Man, you don't want to stand still. I don't know a whole lot about it, but I ain't going to stand still. That's one thing for sure. Y'all with me? You got to be moving. Jesus said, man, I want you to overcome. Look at verse 5. Who is he that overcomes but the world? Let me read that again. Who is he that overcomes the world but he who that believes that Jesus is the Son of God? It didn't say that you're perfect, that you've got everything down, that you're doing everything right. Oh, it didn't say he that quotes 50 scriptures and has them all committed to memory. It didn't say, oh, he that doesn't get mad, doesn't get angry. Oh, it doesn't say that he that never had a bad thought. If you're not having bad thoughts, something's wrong with you. If you're not having to rebuke something in your life, if you're not having to put down something in your life, if you're so gotten to a place that you're so perfect, folks, there's something wrong with you. You're scaring me. Well, Pastor, I just don't have any time to pray anymore. I mean, I just have everything down. Yeah, you're just full of a spirit of a liar, a deceiver. You're deceived. I mean, you know. It's one thing to, you know, your whole life is thinking about how you're going to knock off a liquor store till you just moved up to now you're just, you know, wrestling with, you got mad at your wife what you cooked last night. I mean, that's good. That's progress. But you still ought to have something you're dealing with. We all are. You're not human. If you think you've arrived at perfection, well, the only place you're going to get that, then you must be dead. Reach over there and pinch the person beside you. See if they're alive. And I want you to go to the Gospel of John, chapter 8. I'm talking about having confidence in your Heavenly Father, confidence in what His Word says, confidence in what He has said He would do for you. This is little bitty print, so I got to get my glasses on. I found this in a book of mine, and I didn't even take time to write it down, and I just took a copy of it here, but it says 28 blessings here. Let me just read this to you right quick. 28 blessings of just having faith in God. This is 28 things that God says if you just produce some faith, he'd do for you. Bodily healing, protection, daily food, forgiveness, miracles, heart purity, sanctification, righteousness, justification, renewal of youth. When I saw that one, I underlined it and said, come on, brother. Got to get hold of that one. I hadn't missing that one. Stability, Christian living, Holy Spirit, sonship, salvation, Christ indwelling, baptism into Christ, words of power, godly edification, boldness, assurance, good profession, patience, inheritance, power to resist Satan, victory over the world, edification, and many faith exploits. If you just have any faith in God, there's 28 things right there. He said, the word of God says that he'd do for you. Everything in your life hinges upon faith. But you can't have faith and walk in faith if you don't have any confidence in the one who wrote the book that you're supposed to be believing in. You've got to be able to look at God, your Father, and have confidence that he's going to do what he said he's going to do in your life. That's you exhibiting faith in him, and that's what brings about miracles. Now, it says here in John chapter 8, Jesus is talking to the Pharisees, and he's having this discussion with them, and he's going through there, and they come to this place where they're over here in verse 21, and says, and Jesus said to them again, I'm going away, and you will seek me. And you will die in your sins. Where I go, you cannot come. So the Jews said, will he kill himself? Because he says, where I go, you cannot come. And he said to them, you are from beneath. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. I was reading through the Message Bible the other day, and this is what it says in the Message Bible. Verse 23. You're tied down to the mundane. I'm in touch with what is beyond your horizons. You live in terms of what you see and touch, and I'm living on other terms. When I read that, I said, man, what are we talking about in life? Why are we letting ourselves get our jaws torqued out of shape over issues that are going on in the world when we're not supposed to be living by the terms that this world dictates to you? We live in this world, but we're not of this world. Right? The Bible says you're a new creation. Old things have passed away and all things have become new. That's not just totally spiritual. That's not just, see, Christians for too long have just been living to the die, thinking they're only going to get something from heaven when you die. That basically you get saved so that you hit your direction up instead of down, and you go, you're going to go to heaven, but you're not going to, you're just living out your life. Some people good, some people bad, some people are in the wrong place at the wrong time, some people are not. Some people get blessed, and then you die, and then you go to heaven. And that's the first time you've experienced anything from God. That's not what it's supposed to be. Jesus said, no, 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 that's not what it's supposed to be. You're living in the mundane. You've gotten tied down with the things of this world. You've gotten down with mentally thinking just like the world thinks. Jesus said, I'm looking beyond the horizon. You see, the devil, it's releasing for him to set up your horizon. You know, I know there's two people in the world. There's people that like sunrises and people that like sunsets. I like sunsets. I mean, sunrises don't seem to last long enough. I like sunsets. I like to watch the sun going down. I like the way that the colors come off of the sky. And my house, my way I've got the biggest view is looking at the sunset in the west. And when I read that scripture, I was looking out the other night at the sunset, or the other afternoon, the sunset, and I was watching it go down. I was watching it go down. And I thought, isn't that funny? I can see, my eyes can see what's right over there. But if you're living a life that you've let the devil set up your horizon, and all you look when you see over there is defeat, hardship, poverty, struggles. Your marriage is always going to be the same. Your children, oh gosh, you just hope that they're just going to live. You got nothing, no vision on your horizon. That's all you see. Well, then that's a discouraging thing. That's a sad way to live. When greatness is on the inside of you because of God, not because of you. Listen to me. The greatness that you have, you can be a talented person and blow it. Come on. You can be a talented, talented, talented person and blow it. Look at how many singers today. They have great voices. They have great talent. They get a break and then get involved in drugs and they lose everything. But the greatness on the inside of you is only great because God is on the inside of you. And when you begin to turn your faith onto him, when you begin to look at the face of your Father and have confidence, and you look out over your horizons and you begin to see something that looks different on that horizon than you did before, you're getting somewhere. Because now your hope is starting to come in there, and hope's going to be turned into faith. And all of a sudden you're looking out there and saying, you know something? I just wonder what more greatness is past my horizon. I would have been a terrible pioneer. Because I don't think I could have stayed in one place and not wanted to go and see what was on the next side of the horizon. I'd have kept going. And then I'd ended up in the, you know, at the West Coast and run out of water and thought, okay, well, you know, maybe it was, you know, we need to go back. And I'd have spent my whole life going back and forth, east to west, trying to figure out what the perfect place was until everything got populated and I didn't get anything or something. Y'all with me? Are y'all like that? I always wonder, what's over the hill? One of the things that's hard for me is, like, if I go into a town and I get a hotel, you know, maybe you research it over the internet and whatever, but I always wonder what's right down the street. And if you go eat at a restaurant or something like that, you say, well, this looks like a nice place. You're on a trip or something, you know, your vacation or whatever, and you stop at this place and... And then, you know, you don't know the town. You don't know what's right down the street. Then you go down the street and look and say, oh, man, when we eat there, that food was terrible. Look at this place. Has that ever happened to you? Huh? Yeah. I can't stand it. I mean, I'm like the guy that wants to go down the strip, check it all out, go down back down the strip, look on the other side, and then go find a determined place to eat. Because I just don't know that where I'm at might have been better down there. Well, at least if you get like that, you're looking over your horizons, you're believing God for something better than what you see right now. And I'm here to tell you today, church, God has great things for you. Do not sell yourself short. Do not live and take just the mundane things of life. Believe like Jesus said, man, I'm looking past your horizons. I'm looking at things that you're not thinking about. Now, what was he talking about? He's talking about the things of God. He's talking about, I'm looking at, there's a great creator. And he says right there, you're in a mess right now, but that's okay. You got to go through a battle to have a victory. You cannot be an overcomer unless you overcome something. Are you with me? You can't be an overcomer unless you've overcome something. That's why I worry about young preachers who feel like they've got it all because they read their Bible and they got a revelation of God. But if you had never been in a bad situation, then how are you going to overcome anything? How do you know? You've got to be there in the mouth of the lion and see your God deliver you. And then all of a sudden, wow, yeah, I got that lion by the beard. You got a testimony, right? But if you didn't overcome anything, what do you got to say? You can have confidence in God, but it's one thing. Guys, I'm telling you, y'all know this from experience. Those of you that have lived long enough and have gone through battles in life and have fought through things in life, you know there's a difference if you've overcome that experience, that it made you stronger. I didn't like it when I was broke. I didn't like it in those days, but I can tell you what, I learned how to believe God. I learned how to believe God for miracles. I'll never forget one time, simple thing, but a big, huge thing. Man, we were on such a tight budget, you know, there was no room for anything. Everything had to function exactly right. In those days, my father-in-law was the greatest blessing of my life because he had the tire shop down here, and he'd call me and say, hey, somebody came in here and got to, you know, change some tires. He blew out a tire, and I've got two good ones for you, you know, and I'd go and I'd put those two good ones on the truck. The other day, I was on the job site, Bill, and there was a guy, he had four tires on his truck and not one of them was the same. And I looked at it and I said, dear God, thank you, Jesus. I've been there. I know that. I know how to go buy that guy a tire. I said, my Lord, I've been there. Batteries, too. He'd keep me supplied batteries. Hey, somebody got a new battery today. And said, it looks like it's got a little life in it. Man, I put it in my truck, run her until she's dead and start again. I mean, he kept me alive. We did everything except reuse the motor oil. And he kept me alive those years when it was just tough and hard and just putting, you know, four different tires on. I was so broke one time that my windshield wiper, the motor on the truck, it broke. And it was a little round gear in there, and that gear broke, stripped. And so when you turn the windshield wipers on, the motor would turn, but it wouldn't turn the wipers. And so we didn't have any money to do anything. And I took a piece of baling twine, tied it around my windshield wipers, through the windshield, through the glass, all the way around till I had this rope going right across here. And I would drive down the road. Everybody thought I was waving at them. But I had to get to work. I was a carpenter in those days, making $5 an hour. I had to get to work. You know, we'd lost the ranch. We'd lost everything. All my life had been destroyed. And here I am driving an old truck down the road, doing like this, getting a job the whole time, praying and believing God. I said, Lord, I'm not staying like this. I'm not staying here. Now, this is not what you've got for me, God. You've got great things for me. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. That's what your word says. We're going to overcome this. You're going to make it out. And so I'd gotten home one day and the well went out. And so I just drove up there and, oh, Laura said, man, we're out of water. And oh, I went and looked at it and I didn't think it was the pump, but it was something electrical and we're trying to get it fixed and it was cold and it was winter and it was hard and I'd been out all day just freezing, driving nails. And in those days we did it all by hand and you know, the carpenter I worked for refused to use nail guns. And so we did everything by hand. And so, anyway, we're there and I was praying. I said, oh God, you got to do something, man. We don't have any money to fix nothing. And we're out of water, and it's just nothing worse than this. And I never forget that. I got a phone call when I got back in the house. The guy said, hey, listen, I got a guy coming in, and I don't have time to take him hunting. Could you take him hunting? And I'll make sure and give you a good tip on it. And I said, yeah, I'll take it. You know, so I got up the next morning really early, still no water in the house. We went and took this guy hunting and just visited with him, talked to him about things of God. And we went out and everything. I don't even think he killed anything. He says, you know, I really like you. And he gave me like a $100 tip, and that was like, oh, if he'd given me $10,000, it wouldn't have been any less, you know. I mean, it was like a miracle, signs of heaven. And I went home jumping and dancing, saying, waving my $100 bill around, said, look here what God did. Man, we got it all fixed and we lived. But I want to tell you something. I learned how to believe God. I learned how to trust Him. I learned how to stand in the face of adversity, stand in the face of the devil and say, no way. That ain't the way. That's something that my Bible says. I'm a believer. I'm born again. I know. Listen, the devil always wants to come in and tell you you're not going to receive anything from heaven because you're not living up to standard. Folks, listen to me. If you're saved, if you're born again, if Jesus Christ is Lord of your life, you've already been as redeemed as you can get redeemed. You can't redeem more than it's redeemed. And the only wrestling you got is in your own mind and in your own heart about God and what He wants to do for you. Well, now, Pastor, I don't. You're full of religion. Pastor, I'm telling you, you know, God's not going to buy you. You're full of religion. That's not what the Bible says. Oh, gosh, did I make everybody mad? I got some good. It's that old spirit of religion. What's coming and say, well, God's not going to answer your prayer because you did this and you did that. Repent. Get right. Blood washes you, you're clean. What does he got to say now? I'm preaching really good. What does he got to say then? The devil says, you know, I know what you did last night. Okay, Father, I'm sorry. I did do it last night. I'm sorry I had those thoughts. And I repent right now. You know that's not my heart, Lord. I don't really want to do that. In the name of Jesus, forgive me. Now I'm clean and white. The devil ain't got nothing to say. Well, it's not that easy. Really? I guess I'm just an ignorant country boy. I just simply believe what the word says is true. I just simply read it and believe it. I didn't know that he wasn't going to do what he said he would do. See, that's all man-made religion, church. I look at the face of my Heavenly Father, and I can see that there's confidence in His face. God doesn't turn to Jesus and say, I don't know, things look bad. I think the Muslims are going to win. What do you think we should do next? You know? God's not looking over at Jesus saying, you know, looks like America's in trouble. Man, they sure, looking bad. I don't know if they're going to make it. What are we doing? Angels, do y'all have any thought about this? It's not a struggle going on in heaven. It's not a, you know, the Bible says that there's a great cloud of witnesses, like sit in the grandstands of heaven watching what goes on. It would be a pretty boring game because they know they're going to win. Right? That's right. They cheer us. They're there to cheer us on. They're there to say, come on, we're on the other side. We see what it's like. Come on, guys. Come on. Just keep going. Keep walking. Keep believing. Jesus said there's nobody going to pray and in faith and believe in him that would ever be ashamed. This world is full of crazy people. This world is full of unbelievers. This world is full of all kinds of demonic things to get people sidetracked. And your quest in life is to be a conqueror, to go forward with no matter what the adversities of life have thrown you, no matter whose fault, whatever took place, whatever went on, who did what, who said what, who believed what, who did this, who did that, but to take your course and say, listen, we don't have a sail. We need a sail. Okay, string the shirt up. We're going this direction. We're going to go out there and we're going to go that away. Why that away? I don't know. It feels right. We're going that direction. My wife, I drive her crazy sometimes because I always drive by sight and by feeling and by north, south, east, and west. I'm driving like I say, I look at a map and I say, okay, well, we want to go this way. And so you get down in San Antonio on these one-way streets that are taking us off, and I can get us so turned and twisted around. Sometimes I have to pull over and look, see where the sun is myself and say, I don't know. I'm not smart enough to work my GPS. It always tells me I'm at my house. And Dwayne, he was trying to tell me how to set waypoints, and I try to set waypoints. I got no way. I'm just lost in my way. I look at this thing, and I turn it around and say, what's this thing doing? Flip it around, and then the phone keeps telling me where I'm at all the time. And I don't want to know where I'm at. I want to know where I'm trying to get to. All it does is tell me where I'm at. I can't figure out how to work it. So it's just telling me, you're here. I know I'm here. I can see the sign. I know I'm here. I want to go there. Cursed beast, man. You got to know where you want to go. You know the mess you're in. You don't need somebody to come and say, well, brother, you're in a bad place. I know I'm in a bad place. How do I get to a good place? Right? How do you get that? You get that from looking at the face of your Father saying, God, you've got something better for me than this. You've got a way out of this situation. You're going to take what's been turned around and mixed up and crumpled up, and you're going to make something beautiful out of it. God, you're going to take it, and it's going to go out there, and whatever this is, man, there'll be 100 more blessings in front of me. That's the face of confidence of your Heavenly Father. The devil will lie to you. He'll tell you all kinds of things. He'll whisper in your ear and tell you things that aren't true. Just remember, they aren't true. You don't know how many times that I have been in foreign countries. I have been in places. I'll tell you one more story, and then we'll close up here. I was in the Ukraine one time, and I went to the Ukraine. It was the craziest situation in the world. I went to the Ukraine because Pastor Randy was here, wanted to ship some printing presses over to the Ukraine. I actually wanted to ship printed material in those days. And so he told me, Robert, go in there and find some way to do this. And I said, well, I don't even know where the Ukraine is, much less how am I going to find somebody? He said, I don't know. I got one name for you here. Call this guy. And he knows somebody that knows somebody that knows somebody that knows somebody that's been over there to the Ukraine or something. I said, all right. So I got on the phone, started calling, called a guy, and it happened just like that. I called that guy, and he says, no, I can't help you, but call this guy. Maybe he can help you. And I called that guy, and he said, well, man. And so within about 4 or 5 hours, I had contacted a man from the Ukraine. So I'm talking to this guy, Slavik Kravchuk. And so he can barely speak English. And so we're talking on the phone, and I said, hey, listen, we got so much of stuff we want to ship to the Ukraine. Can you help us? Yes, I can help you. And I said, we got a container full of stuff. Can you help us? Yes, I can help you. He says, you just need to get it to Sacramento, California. So that to me, I'd have probably got to the Ukraine easier than I could get to Sacramento. I figured there was a big fence between California and the rest of the United States. I'm sorry. Anyway, so a long story short, we drive all this stuff out there. We get a Ryder truck. We fill that thing full. We drive straight through because it had to be there like in 3 days. We drive straight through to Sacramento, California. We get there. They unload everything. They put everything on this container. Now, I'm just by faith believing these guys that this checked out through this source of five people I got, and that's all we know. We go through there, and I looked on the ticket on the container, and I started laughing because the containers were going to Houston, Texas. And I just looked, and I was just like, oh, my. I said, they're going to Houston. We're right in San Antonio right there. I mean, we're just 3 hours from Houston. I drove, 32 hours or how far it was to get here. And he said, oh, no, but they had to be sealed here. And then they're going straight through. So we took them all the way there, and then they came all the way back. So then they said, well, come on over. We want you to go to the Ukraine with us. You want to see all this stuff. And so we launched out in 1993 to the former Soviet Union, went in there to the Ukraine, didn't know anybody, didn't know anything, could not speak the language, could not read the language or anything. Walked right into that place. And I'll never forget it. The greatest miracles I've ever seen in my life took place there, but the most vulnerable I've ever been in my life. Going into places, going into hotels, people that you couldn't talk to. I mean, they don't speak Spanish. You can't even it ain't even close to what we speak. You know, and they always say, oh, it looks like Russian to me. That's why, because it's confusing. And I'll never forget, the guys came to us, all of the Russians that couldn't speak English, the only one could, and he's off somewhere else, and they come to us, and, they're the motion for us to come, you need to go, come. And so we go, and we get on this van, and they take us to a train station, and there's this empty train, passenger train, sitting there. It's an empty train. And so the motion for us, come. And so the only word they knew was passport. And so they said, they keep telling us, passport. And they take all of our passports. So I don't like this. Man, I said, man, guys, you realize that we are a long ways from home and we just lost our passports. So they took our passports and put us on this train. The train's just sitting in this depot. I'm like, man, we stupid or what? All of a sudden, train begins to move. Now I'm starting to freak out. I'm on a moving train in the middle of the Ukraine with no passport, headed somewhere where I don't know where we're going. Through the whole trip, we had people that would find out we're Americans and would get us out and spit at us and want to fight us and whatever, just crazy. And so I'm thinking, oh, this is really great. I got nothing to show, nothing. I mean, what? Pull out my Texas driver's license. Say, yeah, from Texas. This train goes and goes for about 30 minutes. We're on a track. I mean, we're picking up a full head of steam, man. And we get off to a place and start to slow down. I look out the window. We're coming up to a depot. And I said, well, this is going to be it. They're going to take us out and shoot us right here. We get off the train. I'm just praying. I mean, that's when you start praying. That's when you start believing God. That's not when you're saying, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. No, when you're praying, Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Man, you get Pentecostal when you get in a situation like that. Spit flying everywhere, man. Slinging old water. You don't care what it is. Bless God. You're throwing everything. We get to the train station. I look down there, and the one man that could speak English is standing there. I said, hey, guys, I think we're going to be okay. We get up there. And come to find out that they would not allow us to be on the train because we were Americans. So the guys had snuck us onto the train so that when the train pulled up in the depot, we were already on the train, hiding in our boxcar. And then he brought the passports through the line and then gave us over there so we could get past it all. All I'm saying is that sometimes in life, you don't know what's going on. You may think you're on a boxcar going the wrong direction. You may feel like everything has been stripped from you. But it's okay. Because if you're putting your faith and your confidence in Jesus, you're putting your faith and confidence in God, he will get you to the station where you need to be, and he will be standing there waiting for you. You just got to hang on and trust him, and it will work out okay. Oh, man, I thought about jumping off that train. I didn't have anything but my Gerber pocket knife. And I said, man, I want to fight the whole Ukrainian army with this 5-inch blade. I'm going down slinging. And we want to jump. We want to bail. We want to get off the train and say, oh, God, this is too difficult. I'm trusting you, but I'm scared. And we want to jump off. And if today you've jumped off the train, I'm telling you, get back on. Get back on the glory train. Get back on and trust in Jesus. Get back on right now. If you've jumped off, you can get back on. But you got to do it. You got to have your faith in it. Quit listening to what the devil's saying. Quit listening to what the world's throwing at you. Quit listening to the mundane, idle talk of the world. And don't let it get you to jump off the train. Jump back on. Saying, Lord, I said, just repent. I'm sorry. I didn't trust in you. I quit. I gave up. I got scared. He's going to say, okay, thank you. You're back with me. Thank you. You're back on the train now. We're going in this direction. Just hang on. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. And I promise you, when the train pulls into the depot, when it's time to disembark, Jesus is going to be there. Don't worry. He's going to be there. Everything's going to be okay. Just keep walking. Amen? Amen. Put your Bibles up if you would. Stand to your feet. Look at the person beside you and saying, I'm getting back on the train. I want to pray for you here, church. Can I go ahead and have my prayer team come down up front? But I want to be praying for you. If you got off the train, I'm going to pray this prayer over you. And in your heart right there, jump back on. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, we just come to you now. And Lord, I know that this world throws fear at us. The devil throws fear at us. And we get scared and we don't know what we're doing and we lose track and we lose focus. But I pray right now, Heavenly Father, over every person here, that Lord, you give them the confidence, the strength, and the power to jump back on that glory train with you. To get back on there, Lord God, and to be believing and have confidence that, Lord, you're going to do everything that you promised. You're going to do everything that you said. And that we can put our faith in you and our trust in you. That, Lord, there's great things on our horizon. Some of you right now, your horizon looks bad, but I'm praying you grab hold of this. Right now, the horizon changes. That, Lord, you can put in their heart a dream, to dream of the good things on the horizon. Dream of more. Some of you, the devil has already told you that you've already lost, that you can't get back. But I want to tell you something. There's more. What you've lost, there's more ahead of you. I don't care what it is. I don't care if your marriage has failed. I'm telling you, there's great things ahead of you. Hear me. Father, right now over them, just put it in their hearts. Let them see it. That there's great things ahead of them, Lord, that no matter how bad it looked today, that there's great things in the future because they're believing and trusting in you. You're lining it up right now. You're setting things and moving things into position right now. Right now. You're going to put it all in place, Lord. And so, Father, we thank you for it. We praise you for it. We put our trust in you. And we know that we will never, ever be ashamed. We thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.